Okay, so let's take up the case of Tsar here. So what's the case in the Mishnah? Kavo b'shvud. So what does that mean? Open the shamer. Kav hamaka. Yeah. Rafi welti porno. Mokom she'eno osech habura. Correct? So the Mishnah's case is a case of no chavura. That's the Mishnah's case. And in that case, you simply ask, how much would this person take to suffer this pain? Correct? Okay. But the case is without a chavura. So the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, go ahead, who wants to read today? How about... So the Gemara asks... Who says you pay? Who holds that you pay tsar shelo b'makom nezek? Yeah, comes out to be a somewhat of an ambiguous term, tsar shelo b'makom nezek. So what does it mean over here? Rashi says we have to be very careful with what Rashi means over here. What does it mean? Go ahead, tsar shelo b'makom nezek. Afchasei. So it means he like the case in the Mishnah, where he gave him a pain on his fingernail, and he did not, what? He did not what? Cause him a loss. Didn't reduce his value. He didn't reduce his value. Okay. Go ahead. So in other words, that is a chiddush, the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is implying... Gemara is implying that that's not a universally held position. That tsar shelo b'makom nezek that you pay. We're looking for the Tana who holds that way. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. All right. So this is all derived from the pasuk in Mishpatim. After ayin tachas ayin, then there's another pasuk kviya tachas kviya. Petza tachas potza, chabura tachas chabura. So what is a? So go ahead. So what does he say? So he says Ben Azai. Who is it? Who are we doing? Rebbe. Okay, go ahead. So he says Zaratan is Ben Azai. Why? Because we know it's a machlokas. Rebbe says Kivia nematchila. Ben Azai says chabura nematchila. Okay, what does that mean? Sure. Okay. So it's a difficult drasha, but in other words, there's two terms in the pasuk: kviya tachas kviya, and chabura tachas chabura. We're leaving petza tachas pots out for some reason or other. Okay, but Ben Azai and Rebbe are learning from these two terms, the limits of tsar, of when you pay tsar, right? So Rashi explains like this, that Ben Azai holds, when it says kivio, that's mashma no chabura. So the first term in the pasuk would tell you that you'd be chayav for tsar even without a chabura, right? Tsar alone. That's why it has to tell you in the end, chabura tachas chabura. Lelamed she'en chayev klum. Ad she'e chabura ima. Right? So kviya tachas kviya would just tell you, you hurt the guy. Pain. But chabura tachas chabura is removing that assumption. And qualifying it. And saying, yedafka, only chayev with the chabura. So in terms of the psukim, how is he learning these psukim? What's the why does he just say chabura? Right? Because kviya is apparently the source for pain. Kviya itself is a source for tsar. But since kviya, according to him, is mashma just tsar, You need chabura to say, then that when I said you, when the Torah says you chayav on tsar, it's tsar with a chabura. Okay? It's tsar with a chabura.
It's not telling the nature of the tsar, right?
It's not telling you the nature of the tsar. What's the tsar's tsar? Go ahead. Since he's Mashal, since he pays Ripoy, then here's Rashi trying to give a reasoning. Why would you be Chayav on Tsar only when there's a Chabura? It seems that's what he's doing, right? Why would you be Chayav? What's the sense? What's the sense in limiting Tsar to Chabura? Is the person less hurt because he has a Chabura? I mean, is he more hurt because he has a Chabura? Is the experience different? Not Mustafa that way. Go ahead. Mishalim, he pays.
Mishalim nami tzar. Abasolo b'makom kabura. Kedonel tziponen. Poter. Tzar lo nezek.
Below nezek.
Tzar below nezek. Lo mishalim. I lav mishum hafe. Lo itzaria. Kabura. The hashtag. Via below Chabura, Shmain and Zachai of Kolsikain Chabura, Seirish Banadar.
Right. So he says that what? If it would, once it says Kivia and then Chabura, once it says Kivia, this is who? This is Rebbe, right? This is Rebbe. Says Kivia first, that would imply even without a Chabura. So then the Sefer says Chabura. To tell you what? You're not Chayev until there's a Chabura with it. Why? Because since you're paying Ripoy because of the Chabura, you'll also pay Tsar. You'll also pay Tsar. But without a Chabura, like on the fingernail, where there is Tsar and there's no Nezek, what does Rashi mean by Nezek, by the way? Chabura. Then you don't pay anything. Right? Because that's the whole point of having Chabura at the end. Otherwise, Kuzh is written Kavir. Kavir alone would have said without Nezek. So, and then of course you would have known with Nezek. Now, as Rashi is trying to explain, you don't need Chabura. There would never be a Havamina to say you'd be Chayav Dafka when there's no Nezek. It would be Koshkin. So the fact that it says Chabura next is coming to exclude the case of no Nezek or no Chabura. Okay?
His reasoning, he's saying just by saying otherwise Chabura wouldn't have been necessary.
But, so, and Ben Azai says the other way. He says, no, when it says Kviya, it's Mashma Chabura too. Right? So therefore, it has to write Chabura a second time to tell you it doesn't mean with the Chabura. So what kind of a machlokus is this? What kind of a machlokus is this? Ben Azai and Rebbe. On whether Kviya is Mashma, Chabura, or not a Chabura. What kind of a machlokus? What is Kviya anyway? Anybody know what that means? What is that talking about? What does it mean? Huh?
A burn.
Our scroll says what? Burn. Wow. So, why is that the paradigm of? So what's the machlokas over here? Why is burn tsar? Right. What is a burn? Why is burn different than chabura petza?
Is a chabura bruise? Why
hurts, doesn't it? To get a bruise.
But why is that? Why is that the nezek example?
That's not the Nezek example. According to Rashi, that's not a Nezek example. When Rashi uses the term Nezek in these lines, he just means Chabura. He doesn't mean a permanent damage.
So they're saying even if you wouldn't have actually had any permanent effect, you would still pay for the Tsar?
That's the Machlokas Tanoim.
Oh, okay.
That's the Machlokas Tanoim.
I thought it was only if you lost something.
No. If you lost something, it's a separate question if you pay. This Gemara is discussing: Do you have to have a hakah that already has a monetary claim in order to pay tsar? Well, can that be the monetary claim itself, the tsar itself? right? That's the question of here. But just in terms of the pshat and the psukim, so kaviya is a burn. Why is burn? Why does burn represent tsar? And that is the pasuk of tsar, because chabura is just modifying kaviya, right? And what kind of a machlokas is it, Ben Azayin Rebbe? Is kaviya mashma with a chabura or without a chabura? What kind of a machlokas is that?
What's the monetary claim of
Ripoy? Ripoy, Rashi says.
Oh.
Yeah. So you want to see what the... You want to be a good detective over here? You got to look at the Lashon. When Rashi explains whether kaviya is mashma chabura or not, whether kaviya has a chabura or not, how does he describe it in each case? Good. By Ben Aza, he says, where? I can never find it for some reason. He says, Distam Chabura, Distam Kviya Yesh Bo Chabura. Right? And what does he say by the first case? Kviya Deleis Bo Chabura Mashma. Right? Yeah, so what's the difference? What's the difference between those two expressions? By who? But that's because a stam kaviya has a chabura. How would you define kaviya as opposed to chabura or pet? Well, just in the very beginning, kaviya de leis b'chabura mashma. Haklomer, kaviya shenema pasat tchila, haynu shomen shehei chayev al kaviya greda, afilu below chabura. So what is a kaviya as opposed to a chabura? In a technical sense, No? How do you get a chabura? Huh? Someone hits you. An impact. No, the chabura is an impact wound. Right? That means it's acting on... chabura is an impact. And kaviya? No, but what kind of a thing is it? Correct. The surface. It's acting on the surface. In other words, chabura. If somebody gets punched, and bruises get a black and blue mark, that means that there was an impact below the skin. Popped blood vessels. Right. That's a maiso hakoh. That's a chabura. But kaviya, that's not the case of tsar. You don't say, but when you get hit, you also have pain. Right? Because the essence of the act is the impact. Correct? But kaviya is the pasuk of tsar. Because that's a surface phenomenon. You understand? It's a surface phenomenon. That's a phenomenon on the surface of the skin. And that affects the senses, the skin as a sensory organ. When you punch somebody, it affects the impact reaches far beyond the point of the effect of the impact reaches beyond the contact. But kaviya is a contact, is a type of a contact. It's a very hot contact. You know, and a punch is not a punch is an impact. It's not a type of a contact. Okay, so kaviya is the model for tsar. Now, Ben Azai and Rebbe are both right. Correct? Because Rebbe says, in an idealized way, the implication of kaviya is, in its most abstract form, it's purely a surface phenomenon. Right? The implication of kaviya is a surface. That's the mashmos, that you're even chayev for the surface phenomenon itself. Okay? So in an idealized sense, it should be without a chabura. And since practically it's possible, that's what he takes the pasuk to imply. But Ben Azai says, in a stam case, when someone's skin is being burnt, it also causes a chabura. That's the difference between the limud of Ben Azai and Rebbe. Is it the stam? Is it the conceptualized form of the thing, the purely conceptualized form, which does not include chabura? Just practically, it might include chabura in certain cases, but conceptually, it doesn't. Or is it do you learn pshat as the stam case? Okay, so Ben Azai says, so Rebbe says, kaviya as a concept doesn't imply chabura. So that's why I have to say chabura again to tell you that you only chayav with a chabura. And Ben Azai learns kaviya as a stam phenomenon does imply, does carry with the chabura. So therefore, you need chabur to tell you that's not the element that we're talking about. Correct? Okay.
Can you explain one more time why chabura just being a surface phenomenon is the model?
Chabura is not a surface phenomenon. Kaviya is a surface phenomenon.
Kaviya is a surface phenomenon is the model of the sky?
Yeah, because it's isolating the sensory aspect of the thing. The surface is where you have most of your... the surface is where just the... there's no damage, just the sense. It's just the sense. Yeah.
So Ben Azai more videos have kaburas?
Why they learn their pshat either way, I don't know. But we can define how they're interpreting the word. We can define in what sense they're interpreting the words. We can't say now why they read the pasuk this way. And the worst possible thing you can do would be to try to derive a generalized methodology of reading psukim from this case. Okay.
Your question is what is stam in this case?
No, they're both right.
What I'm saying is, so when Ben Azai says a stam tavur, he's just looking. His conception is that we just have to read the pasuk in the way that most kaviyas are, which is that
it seems so. That's the way he's reading it, right?
Okay.
Okay, but conceptually, what is the machlokas? Correct? Now the Gemara just goes through an ipcha and it reverses it, says, no, it's really Rebbe who holds his way because the Mishnah should be like Rebbe.
Wait.
Yeah.
What's practically, what's a kviya with a chalura if you define it as a surface wound?
So it would be that the kviya also affected below the surface.
I mean, if you just burn the top of the guy's skin,
no, it means on the skin. On the skin, it's almost always going to have a... on the skin, you're almost always going to damage the skin, too. But on the fingernail, it would be where you wouldn't have any damage. But kaviya is just a general... just kaviya of a chabur. Just anything. It becomes anything when you punch a guy. That's also a kaviya. That's the model now of pain plus damage. Yes, chabur is affecting the guy. That's why nezek can be considered the nezek too, in a certain sense. But it's not the real nezek. It's not the nezek of the five things, right? Okay, yeah. Okay. So what is the machlokas in terms of the payment of the mechayev for the payment of tsar according to Rashi? Over here, between Rebbe and Ben Azai, let's just state it as a fact first. Is what? Ayichayev tzar greda, afilu below chabura, right? But what's the factor? What's the real question? Rashi holds. Rashi seems to be setting it up as a question. We be chayev to. Can you be chayev as it for tashlumen on tsar alone, or is tsar only payable with something else? Strange kind of a question. How do you understand a question like this? Yeah. What's the question? What's the issue? I mean, Torah says you pay for tsar. So why wouldn't you just pay for tsar? Apparently there's a reason to exclude that. Why isn't that just the simplest interpretation? Yeah. No, we have to approach this halachically, though. We have to approach it halachically, not in terms of some sort of social tikkun olam question. How would you formulate it halachically? When the Torah says pay for tzar, right? Torah says pay for tzar. So what is it saying? Right? What is it saying? No, not a good way to put it. Go ahead. What is it saying? All right. What does that mean? For the pain itself. For the pain itself. Okay. And the other way. What's the other way? To say you're not chayav unless there's already a chabura. So what are you paying for? Isn't that like a contradictory shita? Isn't that shita like a contradictory thing? Now, is it you're gonna say you pay for tsar? So why do you need a chabura too? Go ahead.
You're gonna say it's a tsar of neza.
So you have to say that when the Torah says you pay tsar, it's not creating a new institution of a maisa tsar, right? It's saying also the experience of the thing. But the thing has to be defined in its own terms. You understand? In other words, when the Torah says you have to pay for tzar, correct? Is it now creating a new maisa tzar? Right? Or is tzar a secondary thing that you also pay for? Secondary tsar is tsar, you pay for the tsar of, like Daniel says. The tsar of. But there's not a, it's not tsar itself.
It's the same chayav as threat.
You're saying not only are you chayav to compensate, right? To compensate for this maisa, but also for the tsar of this maiso. Okay? But the tsar is not creating a new maiso. It's adding another payment to something that was already defined. You understand?
You're not saying that let's say a guy has...
In other words, the question though is, what's the question conceptually? Question is, when the Torah says to pay tsar, right? That's a new idea, paying tsar, right? Because it doesn't come with a loss. It doesn't make recourse to any other concept we have of any other. There's no other idea. It's a new component, a completely new thing. Pay for pain. Okay? So the question is the Torah now being mechadesh a new kind of an action of pain, or must we make recourse to another action that exists already and say, in addition to, and say, on that action, you also mishalim tzar? It's a question. Yeah, go ahead.
What would you say, like, let's say by a Shevet? Like, you would say that you're paying for the action of putting him out of work, and it's a new action?
You're paying him for Mavatl, because we have a, that already is a, there already is an idea of that. Well, you mean Shlob Mokom Nezek? You mean like this case over here? I mean, Rak Shiv Toyita Vrapa Yerape. So.
Asking how would you define that using these categories?
That's the question,
like
correct.
In other categories, they
no, that's the question. Tsar is an experience, but does that mean to say that it's an experience of something else, or can you be mechayev, or you chayev on the experience itself? That's the question. So, what's the other thing? According to Rashi, what's the other thing? The other thing would be that you'd have to have a maisa that already is a maisa of tashlumen. You have to have a maisa of Yeah, that if you already if your Maisa was a Maisa of Din, right? So then on that you'd also pay Tzar. Correct? Or is causing the experience of pain itself a Maisa? Yeah, you don't like when I say Maisa. Yeah.
No, we're going to forget that. I'm saying, in other words, what you're setting up, right? In other words, joint.
No, is it saying like this? According to Rashi, it's not so hard. You say like this, that you could make the machlokas a little bit easier. You could say that that according to the one who holds b'makom nezek means to say that that the tsar is really part of the maisa. Right, you're really paying for the maisa of chabura. Correct, but a maisa of chabura with tsar is a component of it, right? But you have to be a chovel first. Correct, you have to be a chovel first, and then a chovel pays tsar. Right, as opposed to, or do you say no, that tsar itself is a category of chovel. Correct. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, that's a good question. Now let's just take a quick look at Tosas. So Tosas also has a pshat here, right? What's Tosas pshat? How does Tosas learn this Gemara? It's not like Rashi learns the Gemara, correct? Rashi learns that what? Rashi learns the question of the makom nezek or shelo b'makom nezek is a question of if there's a chabura that you're paying for. Right? Do you say that there has to be an actionable maisa first to say that if you did something that the guy, if you were mazik the guy, right, in any way, then you have to pay tsar of that maisa too. Correct? Once you're mazik the guy, you have to pay tsar of that too. Or do you say no? Tsar itself is an action, is an actionable. There's a claim against tsar itself, right? Okay. But Tosus doesn't learn that way. Tosus learns it a funny way. He says like this: Yesh lomar dehasam gabi. Where is it? Yeah. Yesh lomar shelo b'makom nezek dilakama, and that's our Gemara. Hainu b'makom shelo asa roshem, kideketani kovo al tziponov, where you didn't make a mark. V'tzar shelo b'makom nezek dehacha, hainu al besaro shenikar rishumo, v'lo afchase mikaspe. So he learns like this, that the pashut case that you definitely chaya for is when your maisa causes a mark, when your maisa makes a mark. But the machlokas between Ben Azai and Rebbe is when it doesn't make a mark. Nothing to do with money. Nothing to do with whether it caused the loss of money or not. Nothing to do with paying doctor bills and therefore you have to pay tsar. It's a question simply of, does the tsar, everybody holds it, it's pashut, that, no, it's makom chabura. He learns makom chabura not to mean that yechayev ripoy, but makom chabura means is a mark. What kind of an idea is that? So everybody would agree. If I would tell you have to pay for tsar, you would assume it means with a mark. And there's a chiddush to say even without a mark. Correct? As opposed to Rashi, who learns, if I would tell you you have to pay tsar, it would be pashut that if I'm paying for something else, then I pay tsar. It's like an additional payment. It's like a supplemental payment. Not only are you chayev for the mamon, but we tack on, but tsar is tacked on. But the chiddush would be tsar alone. As opposed to Tosfos, who takes everything out of the monetary realm, just a question of whether there's a roshim or not. Yes, so how is he learning? See, Tosa seems to be concentrating on the Misa more, right? In other words, does the Misa have to have a definition outside of the realm of Tsar? Right? Because he's also the question of, is there a new concept of Tsar alone? Right? Or is it... The question is that Tsar is a pure is an experience. So is the Torah creating a new category of just effectuating experience? Right? Or is it what? Huh?
Or is it a high of a certain type of Misa?
Or is it of a certain type of a Misa? But that Misa has to be defined aside for Tsar. Let's think about it a little more. I don't feel really fully satisfied. But Rashi and Tosos are both working with is when the Torah is Mechayev Tsar, must you have a definition of the act without regard to the Tsar? Must there be an objective way of defining the Misa and then saying Tsar of that you'll be Chayev on? Or can we now reclassify Tsar itself as a type of an activity? Being Mitzayer somebody is itself a type of activity. Of course, it has to be an act, otherwise it'd be a grammar or this or that. But now the Torah is opening up a whole new activity. Or is it, according to Rashi and Tosos, they're only arguing on what the primary activity would have to be that the Tsar is related to. According to Rashi, it has to be another Misa that is a Misa of Din. You understand? That, straightforward, that makes the most sense. Because it's a... It's like a... You could say that. But in other words, when the Torah is referencing another Misa, it has to be a Misa that has halachic significance already. A Misa of Ripoy is already a Misa of halachic significance.
What do you gain by that? What's the difference in Misa? The problem before was that it had no substance.
I thought if you used the thing to burn it.
What's that?
If you use Isn't it still a Misa? If you take a spit and you burn him.
Right.
We're not saying it's out of mice. We're just saying that.
Point to who? Point to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, leaves no roshim, right?
We're not saying just that he didn't do a mice, so we can't be mice.
No, but he's saying like this. But what they're both saying is, outside of the reference to Tsar, you couldn't define the mice. How would you define? Could you define the mice without making reference to Tsar? In terms of effect. Could you define the Misa in terms of effect without reference to Tsar? What would you say? You got him hot? Uh-uh. Can't say that. Okay? So that's the underlying question here. I still don't feel like I have it completely, but that's certainly there's no doubt that that's what the Indian is of here. When the Torah is creating a chiyuv for Tsar, is it Tsar of, and then you have to find a way to define the Misa without reference to Tsar? Or is it Mechadesh Tsar itself as a Tsar as an experience, is like an effect in its own right? So then you can talk about the Misa just in terms of the Tsar. Must you find another effect of the Misa to be chayev on Tsar, or can it just be a Misa of Tsar alone? Machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos is when you say that there has to be an effect, is it an effect bedin, or is it just an effect b'maisa? Is it an effect bedin that you have to already pay? So you see once you have a Misa of Tashlumin, then you can be Mechayev Tsar on that Misa Tashlumin as well. Or just any type of an effect, even a roshim.
So the problem with Tsar is that it didn't have any, there's no substance to the effect.
There's no substance to the effect, exactly right.
I don't understand the way we're setting up Rashi. Why it wouldn't be enough to just have a Misa of roshim? Why do you need it? In other words, then you have substance. Now you have a Misa. What do you mean by having a financial office?
See, now, it's really, in truth, that it seems to be underlying the difference between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that the Tsar is referencing something of the something of the Inyan itself already. You understand? The Tsar of one of the things we've already been talking about. Correct? That's the question for Rashi. Is it the Tsar of something we've been talking about? So then it has to be something Yechayev Ad Tashlumin already. You understand? Or is it its own category of Tsar? According to Tosfos, it's a question of formulating that Tsar is its own thing. But how do you formulate it? Is it formulated only in terms of a... is it formulated with a whole new Maisa, or does it have to have the normal structure of Maisa? Well, let's see if we can refine it a little bit. You understand what I'm saying with Rashi?
Yeah.